of creation as a blessing and as a gift. And today we're going to dive into the essentialness of compassion. 14th century mystic Meister Eckhart says this: "Compassion is the first outburst of everything that God does." Compassion is the essence of Jesus' teachings and the teachings, really, of all the great spiritual leaders, from Muhammad to Isaiah, from Lao Tzu to Chief Seattle. However, Matthew Fox warns compassion has been sentimentalized and severed from its relationship to justice-making and celebration. The word compassion, if you don't know, comes from Latin and Old French, and it literally means to suffer with, to have a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress with a desire to alleviate it. I'll say that again. Compassion means to have a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress with a desire to alleviate it. So who would willingly choose to suffer with someone else, especially when we have our own distresses to deal with day in and day out? This week I watched and posted a 5-minute video clip of a white pastor, Reverend George Mason, who is the senior pastor of Wilshire Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. He was addressing the killing of Botham Jean, a 26-year-old man who was shot dead inside his apartment in Dallas on December 6th by an off-duty police officer, Amber Geiger. The clip was of a sermon that Reverend Mason preached last Sunday to what looks to be like a mostly, if not all, white congregation. He recounted that last week he sat in the room with 15 other Dallas pastors as they spoke with the district attorney in Dallas about this case and about its impact on the African-American community at large. He said these words: "The victim was black and the officer was white, and even if race didn't factor into the event initially, the preferential treatment of the officer by the criminal justice system reminds us that justice in this city and country is still not colorblind, whether you are white, black, brown, or blue." He noted the smear campaign of the dead man's character, which started immediately after his funeral, and is a long and nasty practice used against people of color to gain sympathy for the defendant. After the district attorney left the room with the ministers, one of the black pastors thanked the white pastors for being there, but expressed frustration with what he called the way white churches have privatized the gospel, so much so that it keeps our congregations from understanding that the call for justice is not optional for Christians. He wondered why the white churches don't speak out more, but leave it to the black churches and communities, especially when our culture is dominated by white preaching that is continually defending policies that are rooted in white supremacy and racism. Bishop Jakes said, "I believe you care because you are in this room, but we need to hear more than where your heart is. We need to hear you say clearly in your pulpits and in the streets that white supremacy is wrong. I know that will cost you something, but isn't that what Jesus calls us to do? Jesus says, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him." Reverend Mason asked his congregation in his sermon, "What is God calling you to risk of your own life, in your own relationships, for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? How will you deny yourself in order to take up that cross and follow him? If we want to call ourselves by the name of Jesus, we have to stop defending things Jesus would condemn. And we have to start loving people like he did. It may cost us friends, It may even cost us our life. An essential tenet of creation spirituality is compassion, to suffer with, to have sympathetic consciousness of others' distress with a desire to alleviate it. I believe Reverend Mason exhibited compassion in his sermon last Sunday. Compassion is one of those virtues that has to be cultivated and watered and tended to in order for it to grow. One way that we can move beyond fear, which stands opposite to compassion, is to engage in spiritual practices that center our hearts and expand them. Spiritual practices draw us closer to the Creator, and it draws us closer to who we were created to be, which is free and compassionate beings. You know why they don't call them, why they do call them practices, right? They're not perfections. They're not spiritual perfections. Spiritual practices shape and mold us. They don't make us perfect. But when you perform them regularly and repeatedly, they improve and maintain your ability to be compassionate. So one of my practices is that I like to light a candle while naming or thinking about who it is that I am praying for in my heart. Sometimes I even light a candle to pray for myself. Last week, I lit a candle in heartfelt prayer at home, and then I went about my business. My mind traveled to many other places, but whenever I looked up and I saw that steady flame, I remembered my prayer and I repeated my intention. And it was a comfort to know that even when my mind wanders away from where I have set it, that a light is shining in the darkness and the darkness will not overcome it. Another practice which many of you already join with me in is the filling up of our blessing box right outside our side doors. So every time I come to the building, I check on it. I pick up any trash within or around the box, and I go to our volunteer office and I fill up that blue basket with tin food items or toiletry items, and I take it outside and replenish the supply. Last week when I arrived, it was a weekday, there was an older gentleman that was sleeping underneath our awning. And when he heard me filling up the box, he woke up and he sat up and he said, thank you, God bless you. Compassion is sympathetic consciousness of others' distress with a desire to alleviate it. So what spiritual practices do you already participate in? And which ones would you like to begin anew, today even? Matthew Fox says, compassion has been sentimentalized and severed from its relationship to justice making and to celebration. So celebration comes from an experience of awe and wonder. We have this word mysticism, and the origin of it is to enter the mysteries. And what the creation story tells us is that we are surrounded by mystery. An elm tree that produces 6 million leaves every season is a mystery. So are our blood cells, which parallel the structure of the chloroplasts that make plants green, except that one atom in the molecule structure of blood is iron instead of magnesium. Every organ in our body has a 13 billion year history that makes it a source of wonder and awe. What is sacred is what is awesome. When society lacks awe or mysticism, life becomes trivialized. As Rabbi Heschel put it, forfeit your sense of awe, let your conceit diminish your ability to revere, and the universe becomes a marketplace for you. What is something about creation that leaves you awestruck? Can you see how a deeper sense of awe and wonder helps our compassion to grow and expand? Carol Vaccarello is a 72-year-old elder in creation spirituality. She's also a UCC pastor in Ohio. And she was recently interviewed about her understanding regarding this essentialness of compassion to creation spirituality. I first met her 16 years ago when I was beginning graduate school. At that time, she was the co-director of the Doctorate of Ministry program in Oakland, California. Carol grew up Catholic, and she talks about the importance of moving beyond fear into compassion. She was taught to fear the Lord. And as a little girl in the church, that message got delivered in a way that caused her to believe that she would never be enough in God's eyes, especially as a female who felt a call to ministry, but she couldn't be a priest in her own religious tradition. She says our only reason for being here on earth is to fulfill our purpose in this life. For Carol, she had to pick up her cross, risk, and lose everything that was important to her in order to fulfill that purpose. She risked and lost her career, her family, her friends several times over as she moved beyond fear and into compassion. And after all that hurt, she warns, if we don't heal our wounds, we run the risk of wounding others. She's not able to say all the prayers that she grew up with in the exact same way because her beliefs have shifted over time. For example, in the Lord's Prayer, she doesn't say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," because she recognizes heaven on earth. She calls this place Earth Heaven and says, if everyone on the planet could figure out how special each one of us is, then we'd be living in heaven here and now. She comments on Matthew Fox's idea that there is no retirement plan for elders. There's only a refirement and a rewirement plan. A refiring and a rewiring of what you have learned over a lifetime that burns to be shared with the world. At almost 73, she feels compelled to join her own wisdom with that of the younger generations in order to bring hope to the world. She says we cannot allow our elders or their wisdom to be labeled as worthless or thrown away. Usually in the Gospels, the scribes or the legal experts are opponents of Jesus. But this scribe from our text for today, from Mark 12, 28 through 34, the one who agrees with Jesus, he is told that he is close to the kingdom of God, to heaven on earth. What he was agreeing with was Jesus' assessment of the most important commandment, which is one of compassion. Love God with everything you have, which oftentimes looks like loving your neighbor. Suffering with or having a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress and a desire to alleviate it is part of the most important commandment, according to Jesus. One of the very best ways I have found to practice compassion is to be part of a community. Our contemporary reading that Mike read said, the opposite of both poverty and property is community. Together, as a community, we can help ourselves in most of our difficulties. For after all, there are enough people and enough ideas, capabilities, and energies to be had. So let us discover our solidarity. Let us build up communities. Let us take our lives into our own hands and out of the hands of those who want to dominate or exploit us. So this week, in this community, meals were shared with grieving folks and with those experiencing homelessness. This week in this community, wisdom was dispensed at how we can care for one another during mental health crises. This week in this community, care cards and phone calls and hugs were given to those undergoing surgeries and hospitalizations and grief and birthdays. This week in this community, trucks were unloaded for food pantries, and plans were finalized for bringing good news and companionship to those who are incarcerated. This week in this community, compassion was lived out. Compassion is the first outburst of everything that God does, and we cannot let it be severed from its relationship to justice-making and celebration. Let us go and do likewise. Amen.